Welcome. Please be seated. Welcome to St. James Westminster on this frustratingly chilly morning. Today is the last Sunday after Epiphany, and shockingly, I have some announcements. On Tuesday, we will gather for the pancake supper at 5 o'clock. Yes, 5 o'clock, for pancakes and to prepare the ashes that we will use the next day. Ash Wednesday comes right after the beginning of Lent, and we will gather at 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. for services to begin the Lenten season. Finally, during Lent, we have a new opportunity. We are going to gather together with other churches, other denominations, in Wortley Village, and we will journey with them together through Lent. Each Wednesday, we will gather at a different church in Wortley, pray, praise God, and observe Lent together, ending here at St. James. So, I will be attending those services. If you would like to join but want to know who else is going, come find me. I don't think there are any other announcements. Please stand. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Almighty God,
to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hidden. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Almighty God, on the holy mount you revealed to chosen witnesses your well-beloved Son, wonderfully transfigured. Mercifully deliver us from the darkness of this world and change us into his likeness from glory to glory. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated for the proclamation of the word.
A reading from the book of Exodus. Moses came down from Mount Sinai, and as he came down from the mountain with the two tablets of the covenant in his hand, Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone because he had been talking with God. When Aaron and all the Israelites saw Moses, the skin of his face was shining, and they were afraid to come near him. But Moses called to them, and Aaron and all the leaders of the congregation returned to him, and Moses spoke with them. Afterward, all the Israelites came near, and he gave them in commandment all that the Lord had spoken with him on Mount Sinai. When Moses had finished speaking with them, he put a veil on his face. And whenever Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he would take the veil off until he came out. And when he came out and told the Israelites what he had been commanded, the Israelites would see the face of Moses, that the skin of his face was radiant. And Moses would put the veil on his face again until he went in to speak with him. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. People tremble. He is enthroned upon the cherubim. Let the earth shake. Proclaim the wonders of the Lord. The Lord is great in Zion.
He is high above all peoples. Let them confess his name, which is great and awesome. He is the Holy One. Mighty King, lover of justice, you have established equity. You have executed justice and righteousness in Jacob. Proclaim the greatness of the Lord our God and fall down before his footstool. He is the Holy One. Proclaim the wonders of the Lord. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
Be with you.
And also with you.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Jesus took with him Peter and John and James and went up on the mountain to pray. And while he was praying, the appearance of his face changed and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly they saw two men, Moses and Elijah, talking to him. They appeared in glory and were speaking of his departure, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. Now Peter and his companions were weighed down with sleep, but since they had stayed awake, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. Just as they were leaving him, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah," not knowing what he had said. And while he was saying this, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were terrified as they entered the cloud. Then from the cloud came a voice that said, "This is my son, my chosen. Listen to him." When the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone, and they kept silent, and in those days told no one any of the things they had seen. On the next day, when they had come down from the mountain, a great crowd met him. Just then a man from the crowd shouted, "Teacher, I beg you to look at my son. He is my only child." Suddenly a spirit seizes him, and all at once he shrieks. It convulses him until he foams at the mouth. It mauls him and will scarcely leave him. "I begged your disciples to cast it out, but they could not." Jesus answered, "You faithless and perverse generation, how much longer must I be with you and bear with you? Bring your son here." While he was coming, the demon dashed him to the ground in convulsions. But Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit, healed the boy, and gave him back to his father. And all were astounded at the greatness of God. The Gospel of Christ.
Praise to you.
Please be seated. Do you need Jesus? Do we all need Jesus? Will we always all need Jesus? I think most of us here today know how we are supposed to answer those questions. If you've bothered to come on a Sunday morning, or if you have set time aside to pray along with the service during the week, you probably know that you are supposed to answer yes. Yes, all of us will always need Jesus. We need Jesus' love and patience. We need his mercy and grace. We need Jesus to correct us, gently, we hope, when we go astray, because that is how we return. And even if you answered yes to those questions, you probably feel a little uncomfortable about it. I don't think many of us are happy that we need Jesus as much as we do. We are taught from almost our first breath that each of us is responsible for our own actions. If we don't like something about our lives, well, it's up to us to change it. Don't make enough money? Okay, get a new job. Don't like what you see in the mirror? Okay, change your habits. We are bombarded by these kinds of messages day in and day out. So accepting that we cannot actually change everything we might want to can take some time. I think it feels like living a good life, living faithfully, should come more naturally to us than it does. And so it can feel a lot like failure to admit that even though we know what to do, even though we want to live that way, we don't always act or love as we should. Which brings us back to those first questions. Because if we genuinely do want to live good, faithful lives, the easiest path I have found includes Jesus. Thankfully, we are not the first to struggle to accept our very human need for Jesus. Yesterday was St. David's Day. St. David is the patron saint of Wales. He lived in the early 500s, and we remember David today for his compassion, his care of the poor and the sick. And we also remember St. David because he gave a passionate sermon against a teacher named Pelagius. Now, Pelagius thought that we could achieve perfection. He believed that after baptism, we wouldn't really need Jesus so much anymore. He taught that we could and we should earn our salvation by living perfect, sinless lives. And so St. David spoke out, and he preached passionately because he was convinced that we will always need Jesus' love and mercy and grace. He was convinced, in part, because of passages of Scripture like the one we just heard this morning. This morning's gospel is another unusual one. We hear the familiar story of the Transfiguration. But instead of ending there, we continue on, and we hear how Jesus healed a child after coming down the mountain. We hear how Jesus needed to heal that child because his disciples had failed to do so. Now, a little context will be helpful. At this point in Jesus' ministry, he had already sent out the 12. And they had gone out and healed the sick and cast out demons. They had come back rejoicing with stories of how lives were better. Jesus went on to feed the 5,000 and began to speak about what was coming next. Jesus taught the disciples how he was going to have to die. And he taught them that anyone who wanted to follow him would need to be ready, because they too might lose everything they had been raised to treasure. And then Jesus went up the mountain to pray. He was visited by Moses and Elijah, who helped him to prepare for his coming death in Jerusalem. And Jesus' face shone, and his glory was revealed. And Peter, well, Peter didn't really understand what was happening. Peter doesn't want to go to Jerusalem. Peter wants to stay right there. But that isn't how it works. So they made their way back down the mountain, only to find that the other disciples weren't quite ready yet either. They all still needed Jesus. Now, there are a few similarities between these two parts of the story. In the first half, God arrives in a cloud and chastises Peter. When they come down the mountain, Jesus is pretty sharp, and he chastises the disciples. And in both parts of the story, no one is ultimately rejected. Peter learns, and he's quiet for a few minutes on the way down. Jesus heals the vulnerable child. People were astounded at the greatness of God. Jesus' glory, his greatness, his identity is revealed. Yes, in the transfiguration and when he heals the child. Jesus is revealed in the transcendent, spiritual mountaintop experience and in the messy frustrations of everyday life. And we hear that one is not more important than the other. One is not a more true revelation than the other. And that is why, even though it can make us uncomfortable, it is okay that we need Jesus. Jesus isn't just a spiritual teacher. He didn't just show us how to live. It's more than that. So it is okay that we will always need Jesus in our lives, because Jesus is both human and God. Jesus knows what it is like to live in this world, and Jesus' divine wisdom and love far exceed our own. So Jesus continues to forgive and welcome us home, never ending. So while we may not enjoy our frailty or rejoice in our need, we can trust that Jesus is who he claimed to be, just like St. David did. Thanks be to God for sending us God's Son, so that no matter how or when we fall short, there is always a road back home. Amen. Let us stand and confess the faith of our baptism as we say, I believe in God. Please adopt a position of prayer.
The response to the prayers of the people this morning is, Lord of glory, we behold the mystery of your love. Master, chosen one, your radiant glory fills your church with hope and expectation. Transform our actions as we listen and wait upon your presence. Make us a people prepared to declare your love with boldness and with trust. Lord of glory, we behold the mystery of your love. Master, chosen one, on the mountain, the world was revealed to be subject to your rule. To you, we entrust the nations of the earth and all who govern them. Transform our structures with your justice and peace. Lord of glory, we behold the mystery of your love. Master, chosen one, Peter rushed to preserve the moment of your transfiguration. Capture our hearts for your kingdom. Make us agents of transformation both in public and in private relationships. Lord of glory, we behold the mystery of your love. Master, chosen one, after coming down from the mountain, you healed the boy held in the grip of convulsions. Pour out your transforming love on all who cry for release from suffering. Set us free to sing your praises. Today, we especially think of Sylvia, Robert, of Gavin, Catherine, of Sherry, Brian, of Trevor, Elaine, of Jamie, Emily, Dan, of Karen, Mary, of Cheryl, Rupali and Archie, Dawn and Nancy, Charles and family. Rest in peace, Grace Henkel. Lord of glory, we behold the mystery of your love. Master, chosen one, you spoke with the ancient prophets of your impending passion and resurrection. Transform our fear and bring us to trust in you. Bring us with all the departed to your eternal city. Lord of glory, we behold the mystery of your love. Amen.
Dear friends in Christ, God is steadfast in love and infinite in mercy. God welcomes sinners and invites them to this table. Let us confess our sins, confident in God's forgiveness. Most merciful God,
we confess that we have sinned against you, God, word and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have loved you with our whole heart. We have loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways.
Almighty God, have mercy upon you. Pardon and deliver you from all your sins. Confirm and strengthen you in all goodness and keep you in eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Please stand. My friends, the peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Please be seated, everyone. As Anne has mentioned, yesterday was St. David's Day. And Christine Scott at the 8:30 came up to me last week and reminded me of this and loaned me her Welsh hymnal. So the music that you heard during the prelude were some of Christine's favorites from that hymnal. And of course, there are many great Welsh hymns in our own hymn book. And if you know the tradition of choral music and singing in Wales, it's truly magnificent. So at the vestry meeting last week, I was talking about this plan, and Maureen Sizeland said, well, I speak Welsh, and I read Welsh. So I thought, wouldn't this be a great moment? And I've learned a lot this week about the very difficult to pronounce hymn tune names that are part of the Welsh tradition. Our first hymn this morning, Jesus, Lover of My Soul, is a tune Aberystwyth, which I didn't know is the name of a town at the mouth of the Ystwyth River. Did I do that right?
Right.
Yeah. So just learning all kinds of things. Cwm Rhondda is the Rhondda Valley. So they have these geographical locations. And I've never known that in playing these hymns for hundreds of years. So I thought this will be a great moment. If you'd like to turn in the hymn book, we don't give you music very often, but in the hymn book, if you want to turn to 565, it'll allow Barb to not have to flip through slides twice. But Maureen's going to read the three verses in Welsh. And it's just beautiful to hear the language. You can follow along grammatically for you Welsh scholars out there. It doesn't quite line up. It's a fairly poetic translation into English. And since you have your hymn books open, after Maureen reads it, you can join in harmony on the hymn as we sing it. So thank you, Maureen, for doing this. And here we go.
Yeah, sure. Yes.
Cwm Rhondda. Arglwydd, arwyn drwy'r ianialwch, fi beryn gwael ei wedd. Nad oes yn ôl nerth na bywyd, fel yn gorwedd yn y bedd. Holl a lliog, ydwyr yn am cwyd i'r lan. Agor y ffynonau melus, yn tarddu i maes o'r graig y sydd. Colofn dan rho'r nos i'm harwain, ar o golyfyn yn nwyl y dydd. Roi mi fanna, fel na bwyf yn llwyf rwyhau. Pan yn troedio glan i'r donyn, par ym hofnau sydd o'i gyd, Dwg fi draw tonau gerwon, mawl derflin, ffyrdd i'r enw byth am hun, mawl diderfyn, fyth i'r enw byth am hun.
Thank you.
Holy God, receive all we offer you this day, and bring us to that radiant glory which we see in the transfigured face of Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord, our God. We give you thanks and praise, Almighty God, through your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Redeemer. He is your living Word, through whom you have created all things. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he took flesh of the Virgin Mary and shared our human nature. He lived and died as one of us to reconcile us to you, the God and Father of all. In fulfillment of your will, he stretched out his hands in suffering to bring release to those who place their hope in you, and so he won for you a holy people. He chose to bear our griefs and sorrows and to give up his life on the cross that he might shatter the chains of evil and death and banish the darkness of sin and despair. By his resurrection, he brings us into the light of your presence. Now, with all creation, we raise our voices to proclaim the glory of your name. Holy and gracious God, accept our praise through your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, who on the night he was handed over to suffering and death, took bread, gave you thanks, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you." In the same way, he took the cup, saying, "This is my blood, which is shed for you. When you do this, you do it in memory of me." Remembering, therefore, his death and resurrection, we offer you this bread and this cup, giving thanks that you have made us worthy to stand in your presence and serve you. We ask you to send your Holy Spirit upon the offering of your Holy Church. Gather into one all who share in these sacred mysteries, filling them with the Holy Spirit and confirming their faith in the truth, that together we may praise you and give you glory through your servant, Jesus Christ. All honor and glory are yours, Father and Son, with the Holy Spirit in the Holy Church, now and forever.
Amen.
And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say,
"Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, power, and glory, forever and ever. Amen."
We break the bread of life, and that life is the light of the world.
God, hear upon us, light in the midst of us, bring us to light and life.
The gifts of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Let us stand and continue in prayer. Holy God, we see your glory in the face of Jesus Christ. May we who are partakers of his table reflect his life in word and deed, that all the world may know his power to change and save. We ask this in his name.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Whose power is in us more than we can ask or imagine. Glory to God from generation to generation, in the church and in Christ Jesus, forever and ever. Amen.
Today is the last Sunday after Epiphany. On Tuesday, we will gather for pancakes to prepare the ashes for Wednesday, when we will enter into Lent. Lent is a time to refocus by giving up habits that draw us away from God and taking on new practices to deepen our relationship with God. As a church, we give up the word Alleluia. So you won't hear Alleluia said or sung during the services again until Easter. Today, we are going to bury the Alleluias. After we sing Alleluia, Sing to Jesus, Steve will transition to an Alleluia chant. As I make my way out, I will fold and place my sheet in the box. You are invited to join me to come forward and place your own sheets in the box as well. Throughout Lent, the Alleluias will sit on the high altar as we prepare for the wonder of Easter, when we will open the box again and sing Alleluia as we rejoice in the resurrection. All clear? Then the blessing. May the God of infinite goodness scatter the darkness of sin and brighten your hearts with holiness. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always. My friends, go in peace to love and serve the Lord.